Welcome to Lighthouse Chapel International, Columbus, Ohio. We invite you to discover the life-changing anointed word of God as you listen to this message by Reverend Gilbert Asamoah. Reverend Gilbert Asamoah is a well-seasoned minister who serves as the General Overseer of the Rackham Diocese in Lighthouse Chapel International, USA. Founded by Bishop Dag Heward Mills, with over 1,800 branches worldwide. Join us for a life-changing experience as you listen to this message.
And welcome the great man of God in our life, Reverend Gilbert Asamoah. Amen! We stand in awe.
Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for gathering us once again to hear your holy, precious words. We ask your Holy Spirit to come and be our instructor and expound on the words on how to connect with the supernatural. In the name of Jesus, amen. We thank the Lord. How to experience the supernatural. We spent some time talking about the natural and the supernatural. The purpose of that short series was to bring us into an awareness of the existence of the supernatural. Hallelujah. And so in how to experience the supernatural, the first point is have faith in the existence of the supernatural. Is that not so? All right. And then we move on to the second point, which was you must believe in what? Supernatural methods. We spent a lot of time talking about supernatural methods. So the supernatural method is the vehicle that God is using to bring the supernatural experience in your life. Amen. So what are the supernatural methods, brother? Revision. The spoken word, okay? Laying on of hands, all right? The wind of the Holy Spirit, okay? The anointing oil. And the last week, I think we touched on one more. Yes, anointed cloth and handkerchiefs. Amen. All right. We thank the Lord. But Derek, would you mind joining us here? Yeah, so that we wouldn't feel like you don't like us. We thank the Lord. All those points are under point number two. Does that make sense? Yeah. Point number two, which is supernatural method. Believe in supernatural methods. Hallelujah. Amen. So now we are moving to point number three. Okay? We are talking about how to experience the supernatural. You must believe in the existence of the supernatural. And then you must believe in supernatural methods, of which there are several. Amen. Okay. Now, well, the question, before we move on to from supernatural methods, the question that arises, I think we may have touched on that briefly last week. What is the best supernatural method? The anointing oil. Okay, how many agree with him? David agrees with you. All right. Kisha, what do you think? Which one is the best? The spoken word, laying on of hands, the anointing oil, the wind of the Holy... Are you saying the wind of the Holy Spirit is beneath the anointing oil? No. Or the cloth, the anointed cloth? Which one is the best supernatural method? They are all equally good. So depending on what? What determines the circumstances? Hallelujah. So, yeah, I mean, what is the purpose of the supernatural method? To bring a solution to something. Is that not so? So long as each of these methods work, right, in every one of the instances that we read about, it worked. So the How can you tell me that this one is better than this one? Amen. The bottom line is that when you read the accounts, in many of the instances, the people themselves determine which method. Of course, we have situations where Jesus selected the method. Like, give me one example, that Jesus is the one that chose the method. When he made the clay and rubbed on somebody's eyes, the blind man's eyes. So that one, the guy didn't have a choice. But in Mark chapter 5, right, there are three powerful miracles that take place. The first one is the madman of Gadara. Is that not so? Okay, so he came and worshipped Jesus. And then Jesus commanded the evil spirits to go. He was freed by the spoken word. Okay, and then a man called Jairus, Jairus came and implored Jesus to come and heal his daughter. Is that not so? Yeah. And so, what method do you think Jairus was hoping for when he came? Probably laying on of hands. The fact that he needed Jesus to come to the house, because if it was spoken word, Jesus did not need to come to the house. Like the centurion's account in Luke chapter 7. Amen. So, Jairus said, come to my house, my daughter is sick. And then, whilst they were on the way to Jairus' house, what happened? It was on the way to Jairus' house, something happened. That is when the woman with the issue of blood. So, while Jesus was on the way, that's when the woman encountered Jesus. And what did she do? She touched the hem of his garment. Now, that one is an example of the anointed cloth or anointed garment being used as a supernatural method. That one was a method she determined. Amen. She determined that method. So it means that she didn't even want to come for Jesus to lay hands on her. Amen. Neither was she looking for anointing oil. Neither did she say, Jesus, give me a word. Like a lady asked the pastor to say these words, because I believe in the spoken word. Say, may your husband love you. And then the pastor said, may your husband love you. Because did she believe in the supernatural word? Amen. But this lady, she came and without asking anybody, she came to touch the hem of Jesus' garment and she was healed. And then the Bible said, Jesus turned around and said, who touched me? And then once she identified herself, what did Jesus tell her? Your faith has made thee whole. Hallelujah. And so we establish that the common denominator that makes each of these supernatural methods work is what? Faith. At the end of it all, it is faith. It means that the question I initially asked, what is the best supernatural method? The best supernatural method for you is the method that you have faith in. Hallelujah. Does that make sense? Yeah, it's because this lady had faith in the hem of Jesus' garment. Therefore, it worked for her. Now, Jairus, after the delay caused by the woman with the issue of blood, I wish they had given her name so that when you are talking about it, doesn't become a sentence. You know, Susanna or whatever the name was. So that caused a delay. So once the delay in going to Jairus' house, before they got there, messengers came from Jairus' house and told Jesus what? The daughter is now dead. Don't bother even to come. Don't bother to, harass the master. Jesus told Jairus to just chill, just relax, have faith. And then he went there and laid his hand on the daughter and said, daughter, I say unto you, arise. Hallelujah. So that what you also see, so we made the statement that the best supernatural method is the method you believe in, right? But then the other observation we also see is that Jesus seems to flow with you, whatever your faith is in. If your faith is in, he coming to your house, he will come to your house. Because in the account of the centurion, the Bible said that there was this centurion who was a Jewish military leader, that the Jewish elders, keep in mind that when Jesus came in the first coming, before the cross, that he came as a prophet in the old covenant. Because the new covenant did not come to pass until after he died and rose again. Did you know that? So under the old covenant, if you were a Gentile, you were not entitled to the provisions that are available to only Jewish people. You see, so you have to make exceptions for those cases. I mean, even in the Old Testament, you have people like Naaman who were a Gentile who were healed. But it was an exceptional situation. Amen. Just like the woman, Syrophoenician woman, Jesus said, you know what? This is for children. This is bread for children. So I need you to understand this is what is happening here. The centurion didn't have a right under the old covenant, the Mosaic covenant. He was not circumcised, okay? And he was not a descendant of Abraham. However, the Jewish people argued on his behalf. Just as today, as believers, you can pray for God to do something for an unbeliever. Does that make sense? Because of you, God will do it. But the unbeliever themselves don't have a relationship with God. So the Jewish elders came to plead with Jesus that he has done what? This centurion. What are the reasons why Jesus should come and heal his servant? That he has given money, he has built a synagogue for them. Hallelujah. And so come to his house and heal the servant. So the Jewish elders had faith in what is supernatural method. Very likely. Laying on of hands or perhaps anointing oil. They believed in Jesus coming physically there. And Jesus was going to go to the house. Is that not so? So you see that Jesus is very flexible. You have a very, very good father who pities and understands our weakness. Because you can see clearly that some of the methods of supernatural methods are higher than others in terms of how much you believe. That is why when Jesus was on the way to the house, the centurion himself met Jesus. And he said, look, there's no need for you to come to my house, right? He said, I'm also a military officer under authority. So I tell someone go and they go, and I tell another one come and they come. So there's no need. So it seems like the centurion, the unbeliever, had more faith than the Jewish elders. Well, I say more faith because Jesus made us understand by the remark that he made. Jesus said that not even in Israel have I seen this faith. It means Jesus' statement is saying that a person who believes in the spoken word as the supernatural method is of a higher faith than the one who needs something they can feel and see and touch. Amen. Are we getting a revelation there? The anointing oil is a medium. The hands of the minister is a medium. What else? The cloth is a medium. But a person who doesn't need anything, whether it's a transmitting medium, but just the word that has been spoken and believe it will work, that person has more faith, according to Jesus' statement. Hallelujah. But he still doesn't send you away that, okay, unless you believe in supernatural, you believe in the spoken word, I'm not going to help you. He cooperates with you. So I think it's comforting to know. Because, you see, we know that faith grows. And all of us, our faith will grow until one day, you know, like a lot of the people, some of the people that were lame, right? I believe it was in the ministry of Paul. One day Paul was preaching, and then there was a man who was lame. And the Bible says Paul perceived that he had faith to be healed. It's kind of interesting. The person hasn't said anything, but he sensed that he had faith to be healed. And Paul said, arise by a word, and the man rose up. Amen. So now, in one sense, you can say that no supernatural method is better than the other. Hallelujah. But I believe that as we grow more and more in our faith journey, we are going to need less and less of what the drama and theater people call props. Things that you need to make the act happen. Then the more you can rely on God's spoken word, which is why Ken Hagin even said that in many instances, believers, if we are walking by faith, we can rely on, you know, Proverbs chapter 3, where it says that the word of God is like healing to your flesh. That a believer can rely on that word. Or Psalm 103, where it says that he sent his word to heal us. Amen. What I'm saying is that in as much as all the methods are good, let us determine to grow in faith so that more and more of what we need for will happen just because God has said it. Does that make sense? So now, number 3 is have faith in the man of God. Amen. We are talking about how to experience the supernatural. Have faith in the minister of God, because it could also be a woman. Have faith in the man of God. This is another fundamental thing that is necessary to experience the supernatural. Now, you can say that it's not in all instances that experiencing the supernatural involves a man or a woman of God. Like, you can get healed in your house. Is that not so? Whereby you connect by faith to the word of God. But in an arena where God is using a man or a woman of God, you will not be able to receive anything unless you have faith in that man or that woman. Hallelujah. And some people have a problem with that. Because, look, they say, well, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. But what you don't realize is that God uses human beings just as we talk about supernatural methods, okay? Then understand that a human being can also be a channel. Do you see? So, for instance, the laying on of hands, okay? We believe, many people have seen visions in which as bishop is laying hands on people, then somebody's eye is opened and they don't see bishop, they see Jesus. So it seems like in order for the laying on of hands to work, it must not be just the person's raw hands they are laying on you. Amen. So for you to connect to the power that is being transmitted by the laying on of hands, you must believe that God is in the person. Amen. That's why in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6. This is a very vital step in experiencing the supernatural, because in many instances, nothing happens not because the man or woman of God is not anointed or that power of God is not present, but because people don't or cannot receive from a particular person. For it is God. Okay, let's go to 7. Verse 7. Paul is saying, for we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Hallelujah. That the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. So there are two thoughts being conveyed in this scripture. It says that there is a treasure. That treasure is the eternal virtue of God. Paul is saying this treasure is where? In earthen vessels. That is human beings. Hallelujah. So if you are looking for the treasure of God or the flow of the supernatural and you don't want to see it in a human being, then you are deceived. Amen. It's like you cannot go to the store and say, I am buying Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola will come either in a can or in a tin. Have you ever seen Coca-Cola being sold in a polythene bag? Some of you don't know polythene bag. A plastic bag, like a plain plastic bag. You know where I come from? Yeah, that one I haven't seen, but I've seen water. Is it where I come from? You know, those who have money can get bottled water in bottles. I mean, cold water in bottles. But then you often when I arrive in Ghana, my relatives tell me that be sure not to get the water that is in this plastic bag, because there is water also which have been poured into a plastic bag. It's a plain plastic bag. They call it sachet. It's like a Ziploc bag, but it's not a Ziploc bag. What do you call it? Pure water. Yes, pure water. That's a brand, right? It's less expensive than the one in bottle water. The one in bottles. And they say that this one is not of good quality. You may get diarrhea from it. Do you understand? And I've actually visited people's homes, okay? Whereby like everybody in the house is drinking that one. But because I'm a special guest from America, you understand? I get a bottle one because that one is more expensive. Amen. But even in Ghana, I've never seen Coca-Cola being sold in those sachets. Amen. It would be odd that cocoa is sold in those sachets. Wow. What I'm saying is that some things usually come in a certain package. Now, here, it is normal to find water in a water bottle. Is that not so? But if you go to a store, or not even a store, because it would be really odd to find that at a store. You go to somebody's house, Rita. You go to somebody's house. They say, what do you want to drink? So we have Sprite or Coke. I don't know which one is your preference. You don't drink any. Okay, what's your favorite beverage? Water and lemons. Wow. We have a healthy sister here. Well, then she's not a good example of her. I want someone who drinks Coke, classic Coke. Okay, you drink Coke today. Yeah, you're a good sport. So, you say, yes, bring me Coke. And then the person enters the kitchen and comes out with Coke in a water bottle. Are you going to drink it? I would only drink it if the person is a close relative. And even that, I will ask a couple of questions. I say, excuse me, is there anything? I mean, what's the matter? Are you... But you know one reason why it could be a water bottle? It could be that you have this 16-ounce bottle that you bought it in, right? And then maybe, I'm just making it up. Like now, you almost finish the Coke and you want to do groceries and then now the fridge is full. You understand? So now you need to take this 16-ounce bottle and throw it away. Otherwise, there is not enough room for your yogurt and your other things. So now you take a water bottle. An empty water bottle, you pour it in, and then so that it will fit. But usually you do that when you yourself are the one going to drink it. Because if I myself put it in a water bottle, I'm drinking, I don't have any questions. But if somebody gives you a water bottle with Coke in it, you have questions. Amen. Or if somebody gives you a Coke bottle of tin, which is already open, a suspect. Hallelujah. So things often come in particular containers. And it said, we hold this treasure in earthen vessels. Amen. Amen. So the anointing, the flow of God's power is in earthen vessels. As a matter of fact, you can actually broaden this. The vessel can even include the supernatural methods we talked about. But in this concept, Paul is talking about himself, the human being. Because if you read in later verses, he's talking about how even though the outward man is perishing, the inward man is renewed day by day. He's talking about the physical man. So if you want Coke to drink and you want it in a teaspoon, you're not going to get Coke. You have to accept the method that it is traditional for it to carry. Right. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, this point is very important because sometimes it may be blamed that the man of God or the woman of God doesn't have anointing. But what happened in Mark chapter 6, can we go to Mark chapter 6, is a clear example that how a person is received can affect the flow of the supernatural. Amen. Amen. So in Mark chapter 6, Jesus went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. He went to Nazareth. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue. So on a Sunday, Jesus went to church. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him that such mighty works are performed by his hands? So you see that initially, the initial impression was that they were impressed. Were they not impressed? Yeah, they began to actually say, this man is... And then they looked at his face very closely. Because when you see a stranger, somebody you haven't seen before, there is a tendency to approach and relate to with the person with a little bit of awe. Do you see? But then the moment they notice that, it's Jesus. We know this guy. Then the awe, the reverence, everything vanished. So initially they were astonished. They were impressed. But then they began to, the Bible says in verse 3, is not this the carpenter? Amen. So the Son of God, who the Holy Spirit has come upon and remained, the Son of God, who the Gospel of John said that the Lord gave not his Spirit to him with measure, or the Lord gave his Spirit without measure. Somebody who is fully anointed, the Son of God himself. Somebody who was conceived by the Holy Spirit. These people are looking at his physical aspect. Hallelujah. And so they say, is this not that? So a carpenter is a very common something. Like if you are looking for someone powerful, a carpenter, that even the other day he repaired a broken chair for me. Do you understand? So now if he's telling me today that he's a powerful whatever, I find it hard to believe. And if it is his own hometown, chances are that he went to school with some of the people. Amen. Amen. I have a friend who is a pastor. whose roommate, initially the roommate couldn't receive from him. Because it's like, I mean, usually at school, he may even have had a nickname. You understand? It took a little bit of time before the roommate saw that this one is, now he's a pastor. I actually saw the transformation of how the roommate gradually saw him as his pastor. Do you understand? And now the roommate is also doing very well. Hallelujah. But unless you can see that God can appear in a man, everything that is happening with a man of God ministering supernatural, it will be to you like it's like some game somebody is playing. It will be like a cinema, movie you are watching. Because that's what they did to Jesus, the son of Mary. And then they began to list his brothers and sisters. The brother of James and Joseph, James and Judas, they were nothing special in the town. I mean, it was like, I mean, if these people were like royal children, like Prince Charles and, I mean, Prince Andrew and those people, they wouldn't have talked that way. Do you understand? So James, and they said, are not his sisters here with us? So they were offended at him. Hallelujah. This is a big neutralizer of the anointing. Familiarity and unbelief. Hallelujah. So having faith in the man of God, having faith in the minister himself is very important. Throw away all the supernatural methods. The supernatural method wouldn't even work unless it's a supernatural method that doesn't involve a minister. Hallelujah. Amen. And it is said of E.M. Bounds. E.M. Bounds was a minister, I think, in the 18th century, around the time of the Civil War. And he is said to have made this classic statement. He said, men are God's methods. Men are God's methods. So, in other words, we've learned about all the supernatural methods, but understand that the human being that God is using to effect something is the ultimate method God is using. So now, Jesus has been reduced to an everyday person. And so the scripture says, Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country. Hallelujah. Among his own relatives and in his own house. Sometimes even a pastor in your own church, that is the same experience you get. Because you know, they've seen your face, they've seen you, they know all your jokes. The moment you start telling a joke, you see a smirk, somebody smiling. It's like they know where you're going. Amen. Amen. People, so unless people make up their mind that, look, this man is the man of God for me that God is using, and it does not matter how long I've been with him. Somebody like Bishop Saki, he's just a gift. Because Bishop Saki never ever made anyone feel that, look, I know Bishop. He won't even call him Dag. Even though they were friends before the man became a pastor. Do you understand? They were friends. Like, they were in school. In fact, Bishop Saki was Auntie Mame's classmate at the law school. Do you see? And then, later on, you know Bishop Saki was a lawyer. Actually, Bishop Saki also worked in the law firm owned by Bishop Dag's father. Yes. So they've been friends. And then Bishop Adi. Bishop Adi and Bishop Saki both came from Achimota School. He knew him at Achimota School. Hallelujah. Amen. And if you heard Bishop Saki, Bishop Dag talk about how on the day he was proposing to Auntie Mame, Bishop Adi walked in and interrupted the proposal. Like he walked in, he was coming to visit. He said that the man hung around for a while. The man couldn't see the scenario that I'm trying to do something here. Talked for a while and then eventually left. It's like they know each other since they were young. Amen. As a matter of fact, when Bishop Dag was leaving the Achimota School, the Christian group that he was leading, he handed over to Bishop Ediadi. Hallelujah. On the day they attended an all-night prayer meeting, and then they were... Bishop Dag felt the call to be a pastor. He was with Bishop Adi. He said they were at a certain circle and then they were discussing. Like, before he was called Pastor Dag, they were friends. Do you understand?
So is it not a miracle? Is it not a gift that these people were willing to now follow him as their leader? Amen. Amen. Follow him as their leader. It's very rare. Often people don't do that because they know you. They know everything about you. And this is the thing that is happening to Jesus here. That they have neutralized the anointing. He said he could do no mighty work there. He could do no mighty work there. It is because of this that Bishop preached a message called the visitor's anointing. Amen. Amen. Bishop said that when a visitor comes, there's an anointing that seems to flow because the church members are not familiar with the visitor. Amen. And so the visitor always seems to be more powerful than their own pastor. Hallelujah. Yeah, and the visitor, whatever he does, after it's over, he's gone off. And the pastor has to deal with everything that has happened. We had a visitor here. I don't want to say anything bad, but somebody gave an offering. I've used this example over and over again. Somebody gave an offering. The visitor said, "The Lord is going to bless you. I mean, something powerful. Please don't get where I'm going wrong, because sometimes God's words, sometimes, have you heard the expression, it will get dark before it gets brighter? Sometimes that's how it is. Yeah. So the prophetic word was that he was going to get blessed. Gave an offering, a student. By the time the service was over, his car had been towed. Are you listening to me? Yeah. This is the exact opposite of what he was believing God for. His car had been towed. And then the external minister, where was he? He's gone. Now this church member is calling me. I'm the pastor who has to deal with and comfort the person. But in the middle of all that, I have to find something to be able to tell the person. I have to balance it so that he will not lose his faith. Because when somebody is in the middle of a crisis, some verses is easy to say. But if it is you, try it on yourself and see. Amen. Amen. Are you listening to me? If somebody's car, the day somebody's car has been stolen, that may not be a good day to say Romans 8:28. All things work together for good. My car has been stolen, it's for good. Are you there? What I'm saying is that the person that you are familiar with, there is a chance that you may not be able to receive from, unless you make up your mind that there is God in the person. Amen. And then the anointing, supernatural will not flow in a certain sense. Because it doesn't matter how anointed the person is. Because who is more anointed than Jesus? But he said he could dare do no mighty work. Hallelujah. Let's go to Luke chapter 4. There's a verse there. Luke chapter 4, verse 23. Maybe start from 22. Luke 4, 22. Okay. So all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" So that is the same scenario. This is how Luke recorded it. Is this not Joseph's son? When sometimes people try to find out, "Oh, I went to school with him. This guy, I went to school with him." One day I met somebody in town and he said he kept on referring to Bishop as Dag. He's an elderly person. And my wife and I, you know, he could tell that our faces were not, we were not looking very happy at all. Because this person is trying to neutralize the person back to Achimota days. Do you see? Now, verse 23, he said to them, "You will surely say this proverb to me, physician, heal yourself. Whatever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in your country." Then he said, "Assuredly, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country." Hallelujah. Amen. So, to bring it practically, Sister Eunice, you have to constantly remind yourself that the person before you is not the person. Maybe at Agabapto Fest, you saw me at Agabapto Fest, where I came out of the water and I was wearing some shorts. That is like, it's looking very funny. Do you understand? It's just a baptism, but it's like, hey, then you saw that my something about my leg is crrr. You know? I don't know what crrr me, but I used to tease my young sister, you know, when she was little. I say, "Crrr, your leg is crrr," and then she'll be crying. So you see something that is like, this is an ordinary person. But the mistake we make is that God always uses earthen vessels. As a matter of fact, in the Old Testament, there's a mysterious scripture. Let's look at Exodus. Let me see if I can find it. Exodus
Maybe I wrote it down. Exodus chapter 4, verse 16. Exodus 4, 16. You will see, you know, when God was calling, when God was calling Moses, Moses had a lot of excuses. Do you see? God will say, I'm sending you. Moses will say, I don't know this. I don't know how to do this. So at some point, God was even almost getting angry. So by the time you get to verse 15, maybe it's half from 15. Now you shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth. Okay? Start from 13. But he said, oh my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send. So you see, God is trying to send Moses. Moses doesn't want to go because he's afraid. Keep in mind, where is God sending Moses to? Egypt. What happened? Why Moses is no longer living in Egypt? He killed somebody who was a fugitive. Amen. And then now it's 40 years later, he's even older and not as strong. If anything comes and I have to run away, it's not like 40 years ago where I could run. Do you understand? So he's putting up so many excuses. Brother Eric, be careful. He's putting up so many excuses why he shouldn't go. So in verse 13, he said that he should send somebody. Now verse 14, so the anger of the Lord was kindled against who? Moses. And he said, is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know that he can speak well. And look, he's also coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he'll be glad in his heart. So the Lord already had arranged that Aaron was coming to look for Moses. You see, as Moses is giving orders, the Lord said, look, Aaron is coming to meet you. Now, next verse. Now you shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth. Okay? That is, Moses should speak to who? Aaron, and put the words in Aaron's mouth. And I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and I will teach you what you shall do. Okay? Don't be scared. I will teach you what you shall do. Next verse. So he shall be your spokesman to the people. Who shall be whose spokesman? Aaron shall be Moses' spokesman, and he himself shall be as a mouth for you, and you shall be to him as God. Amen. So the Lord is saying that you, Moses, I am making you God. Okay? And how many know that God needs a prophet to speak for him? Yeah. So since you say you don't know how to speak, okay, now you are God. And Aaron is your prophet. So I will put my words, and then to you, you'll be like a God to Aaron. But Moses is a human being. But he's saying, I'm making you God. So if you are Pharaoh and you see Moses and you bring back the old crime that he did, it will be a mistake you are making. Because that is 40 years ago, and God, he has met the creator of the universe himself, and God has erased. Now he's coming not as a fugitive, he's coming as a redeemer. Hallelujah. And not just, he said he's God. Let's go to Exodus 7 and verse 1. Same thing was repeated there. So the Lord said to Moses, see, because in Exodus 4, he was giving the promise. In Exodus 7, it's actually happening. See, I have made you as what? God to Pharaoh, and Aaron your brother shall be your prophet. Hallelujah. Is Moses God? No. But God said that I have put myself in him. Amen. I have put myself. So this is the mystery of it that people don't get. That when God manifests himself in someone, the way you relate to the person should be the same as the way you relate to God. Because now it's saying clearly that Moses is like God to Pharaoh. So that you don't joke with Moses. And in order for the supernatural thing that Moses is going to do to work, Pharaoh must know that the man standing in front of him, he may be wearing clothes that are torn, maybe he's stammering, his beard may not have been cut for a while, he may be looking a bit scruffy, but it's actually God in the flesh. Are you following what I'm saying? Yes. This is the mystery of it. That people, you see, Jesus called John the Baptist as the greatest woman born. In the old covenant. I mean, the greatest man born of a woman in the old covenant. Why? Because of all the people, John the Baptist was able to recognize God appearing in the flesh. Amen. If you cannot see that this is a person, a human being, but
right now, he's like God. He's, you have to relate to the person as God. That is the mystery, because you see that person's ordinariness. No, it is not. He's not there in his capacity as himself. He's there in his capacity as God. And in order for whatever he's doing supernaturally to benefit you, you must receive him as God in the person. That is why I go to John chapter 14, verse 1. We are reading two scriptures. We probably will have to take it up again as you are reading two more scriptures. John chapter 14 and verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Okay? Why are you not supposed to let your heart trouble? You believe in God, believe also in me. Now, everybody knows that Jesus is God. But at the time he was speaking, he had not gone to the cross yet. Right? He had not gone to the cross. And you must know that Jesus probably looked very similar to the other disciples. I mean, we know that in the transfiguration, he was transformed and was shining light. But in every day, as he's walking around ministering, the 12, he was like the 13th amongst them. You couldn't tell them apart. In fact, if you could tell them so easily apart, then it would not have been necessary for Judas to tell the Jewish elders that whoever I go to give a kiss on his cheek, that is the Messiah. That is Jesus. Do you understand? So it means that he mingled with them easily and you couldn't tell them apart. So he was very ordinary. So that is why the question Jesus asked when they were in the region of Caesarea Philippi, Jesus asked the question, who do men say that I am? It's not that today it's so common. Even unbelievers know of Jesus, right? Today it's so common that we receive him as the Messiah. But it was after the resurrection that they understood that, look, nobody ever died and rose again. If he rose from the dead, he must be the Messiah. But at the time he was walking around ministering, he was just an ordinary person to them. And Jesus asked them, who do you say I am? They said, so when Peter was able to say that, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, it was a fantastic revelation. And Jesus said that God will bless you because of that. Hallelujah. Because it wasn't flesh and blood that has revealed it to you. So for Jesus to say, believe in God, but believe also in me. It means that in a supernatural flow, you don't just need belief in God for it to benefit you. You must believe also in the man of God that God is using. Because Jesus was standing in the flesh as a man. Jesus said, believe in God, believe also in me. Hallelujah. Is it making sense to you? Yeah. If it was the Son of God, you know, with brilliant light and everything, then it would have been easy. Let's go to the Old Testament. One last scriptures. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 20. Most believers, they don't have a problem to say, I believe in God. But to say, I believe in the man of God is a problem for believers, many believers. But I'm showing you from the biblical pattern that your faith will not work if you don't have faith that this person standing before you is in a capacity as God's agent. Hallelujah. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20. So they rose early in the morning and went into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, which is what everybody doesn't have a problem with, right? And you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. Do you see? Believe in the Lord your God, you shall be established. It's aman. Aman. That Hebrew word is aman. Believing in God generally would establish you. You become a good Christian. But the believe in his prophets and you shall prosper. The Hebrew is chalak. It means to search forward. There is a certain surging forward that God has reserved through the ministry of a prophet that God has given to you. Amen. Hallelujah. That if unless you believe in the prophet also. But you see, the question is, are the two any different? You see, the prophet is working with God, but God has decided to appear in the prophet. So it's like, if you don't work with this prophet, I can't help you. Because this is the means by which I'm doing. It's like the person says, look, if you want coke, it comes in a can. That's what I can give you.
If you say you insist that it has to be in a water bottle because where you came from, it was in plastic bag. I'm sorry, we don't do that here in America. Do you understand? So this is the mystery of it, that you must not only believe in God, but believe in the person God is using. And many people are not able to move that next extra step. And then because of that, they cannot receive from a person that God is using to bless them. May it not be said of us. Hallelujah. May we be a people, because we have seen clearly over and over again in the Bible that a certain level of blessing that should come our way because God is using a human being. Let's forget about the fact that you went to school with a person. The Bible said, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Perhaps when you were in school, he was your junior. Do you understand? He was somebody that nobody even respected. But right now, God has clothed himself in the person, such that relate with the person as if you are relating to God, and you'll be blessed. Put your hands together unto the Lord. Let's rise up to our feet. Take out your offering or your phone, and let's commit it to the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, we appreciate you. We thank you. Thank you for bringing us, Lord, into this revelation of being able to receive from the man or woman of God you sent our way. Now we give to you our hearts and our offerings. May you bless it and sanctify it in the name of Jesus. Amen.
There is no one like